Hello and welcome to Starcast from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer. Here with Starcast accompanying the weekly horoscope for Thursday, the 28th of February, 2025, ahead of the Labor Day weekend here in the United States. Thank you for joining me. This short podcast will include a basic roundup of the current astrology and a couple of housekeeping things, which I will begin with. The Virgo reading is done. If you've purchased Virgo Studio or Virgo Easy Does It, the mid-year reading, I've combined those into one extended, very nice reading that will help you figure out what on earth is going on in the world and in your life. That is available. I'll include a card for that. What do you want to call it? A little, I never know what to call them, kind of an ad, the thing that says where to go to get it, The Tale of the North Woods, and that's the same as the Virgo reading for Easy Does It. It's a video reading. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. It'll be playable many times, and there's also downloadable audio in there. Today's lead article is about the 70th anniversary of artificial intelligence. So we are actually at the 70th anniversary of AI. That will be on Sunday, the 31st of the quarter moon, and it has been a long time. And I have read many different charts in the AI and technology space, and in a separate video that that goes out alongside of all these things, it'll be available on Planet Waves and YouTube and Substack in an open post. I am looking at the charts that lead up to, the AI chart is the first one. So I kind of lead back into this AI chart for August 31st, 1955, and describe the one thing they all have in common, which is Eris. There is a lot of Eris. Eris was named in 2006, discovered in 2003 or 4 by Mike Brown and company, and it is a very long period. A member of the Kuiper Belt, its orbit is more than double the length of Pluto, about 554 years, and Eris just shows up in all of the important charts for digital technology and for radio and for telegraph and for the book, all the big technology innovations. I have not tracked the history of television against Eris, but I'm fairly sure that it's going to turn up. And in any event, it is big in the chart of the guy who came up with the term for artificial intelligence and made the first proposal for a summer kind of summer internship program, a 2-month long program. Can you imagine such a thing now? And then also it shows up in the charts of Bill Gates, the moon conjunct Eris, Steve Jobs, the moon conjunct Eris. That was one of the first things that we noticed when we started looking for people who had, like, who's got something. So you just start casting charts and you start looking for people. And we came up with Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And then a lot of other people have people meaning in the technology development space. But I have to say, John McCarthy, the inventor of the term artificial intelligence, takes the cake with a Jupiter, Uranus, Eris conjunction, all within 2 degrees. In very early Aries, has had tremendous impact. And by the way, John McCarthy, also the inventor of this thing we now call the server, the timeshare computer, now known as cloud computing. Originally, the term was a timeshare, no, not this thing in Aspen, where you spend a week and you get a little place in Aspen. Rather, it's kind of like that, actually. It's like, well, I've got my little place in the cloud, and I use it for 20 seconds out of every 10 minutes. That is also invented by John McCarthy. So what has been going on is that this concept of AI, though it has not been known to the public, it was not really known to the public until the launch of ChatGPT. And I've done that chart too. That's on my YouTube channel. Just scroll around and you'll see that. But it emerged suddenly in another spectacular Eris chart in November of 2022. And then it caught on pretty quickly. And then since Trump took office in January, aided, abetted, led, and guided, and manipulated, owned, and completely imprisoned by the big tech, a bunch of guys who were all sitting in the front row at the inauguration. It is all ALL that we have heard about, all we've heard about all year long. We here at Planet Waves have amassed approximately 2,000 articles on the topic just since July. 2,000 articles on the topic. It is hosing us down. And people are starting to figure out what complete and utter total horseshit this thing is. It is absolutely useless for almost all practical purposes, except surveillance. It does very well to find every picture of you that's ever been put on the internet. But like, what good is that for the human race? And as I said in my article, I had my big breakthrough in understanding what AI is and is not when I ran the thought experiment, could a perfect replica of a border collie, a robotic replica, imagine you could somehow power, it would take like, you know, a diesel engine, but imagine you could power an AI border collie, rather design a perfect robot, could you program it to herd sheep? And I went through all the different permutations of what it takes for a border collie to herd sheep, and it turns out, no, you couldn't train a robotic border collie to even move some sheep around. But it'll move people around, if that tells you something, that maybe sheep have a lot on us. So all that is in this week's amazing Planet Waves. One of the best things ever in astrology is Planet Waves. And the homepage, soon to be reintroduced as a brand new website, planetwaves.net, and then available in a nice website on Substack, planetwaves.substack.com, and all of my products are available at the astrology.boutique. All kinds of great stuff, my readings, my personal consulting, chart casting products for all of you brainiacs and spiritual seekers who think that astrology may hold something for you. I promise you that it does. All right, let's take a look at the current astrology centered around the first quarter moon on August 31st. The sun is still, of course, early in the sign Virgo. The full moon takes place, that we're waxing toward the full moon takes place on the 7th. No, yeah, on the 7th, exactly, 9-7, September 7th. And then we'll have the second Virgo full moon on the 21st of September, right in the last degree of Virgo. So we're in one of these situations where the first full moon in Virgo took place in the first degree. That always means the very next full moon is going to take place in the last degree of the sign. And this time it happens to be a partial, not total. I said last week somewhere that it was a total, a partial solar eclipse with the sun right up against the Libra equinox. So the season is coming to an end, the winter down in the southern hemisphere, the summer up here in the northern hemisphere, and the seasonal change is always a turning point wherever you may be in the world. Excuse me, in the world. And we're coming up on that, and it's going to be a dramatic one with this combination of the equinox and the eclipse. Equinox plus eclipse. Okay, so Virgo is the third sign in the season, whether it's summer up in the north or winter down in the south, the third sign of the season is always a mutable sign. So every season has three mini seasons, if you count by the astrological sign, or it has two mini seasons, if you count by the 45 degree angle change, the cross quarter. Way back at the beginning of August, we experienced the cross quarter known as Lunessa. That's the midsummer holiday. Or the first harvest, or the second planting, otherwise known as Loafmas, because you could, I guess, bake bread because the wheat had just come in. So these holidays have a lot of names, but there's also turning points when you divide each season in three. there's a lot of ways to divide things mathematically, and this is what people did when they were smarter and more interested in nature and the seasons and in the passage of time. Now, speaking of loaf mass, it's called that because of the connection between Virgo and agriculture. And the connection between Virgo and agriculture is profound. If you just look at the, you know, the associations between Virgo and farming, this really is about the civilization of humanity. The dividing line between what we have today and the way we were previously for millions of years, i.e. we were hunting-gathering people roaming around in tribes, or so we are told, and then at a certain point, I don't know, when how do you date these things? Let's ask Google. When was the agricultural revolution? I'm sure it didn't seem like a revolution, marching around with people's heads on sticks and burning buildings down 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. Also said to be the Neolithic revolution, when humans transitioned from hunting and gathering to settled farming. That was about 10 or 12,000 years ago. And by the way, you know, not coincidentally, you know, soon after the end of the most recent ice age. The whole planet wasn't covered with ice, but where I am sitting was covered with ice probably 12 or 13,000 years ago. I have read where I'm sitting today would be under 2 miles of ice. Isn't that incredible? So humans have been roaming around on the planet for millions of years, but we only started this whole farming thing in the current understanding of history 10 to 12,000 years ago. And with the whole farming thing comes all the associations of the sign Virgo, and furthermore, all of the inventions that came as a result of needing to understand the seasons and to be able to write down the instructions for farming in ancient Sumerian civilization. And this gave us numbers. It gave us the zodiac in a form similar to what we know, that is to say, the tropical zodiac associated with the seasons and not with the stars. And also, we got basically things like the wheel and writing and double-entry bookkeeping. Chaldean civilization also around the same time, not exactly in the same place, but nearby. And this is all a result of the agricultural revolution. And this is all apropos of Virgo, because Virgo is the sign of agriculture. And so this contemplation, particularly this during this year's transit of the sun through Virgo, has opened my mind to the profound influence that all things Virgo have on humanity. Like, this is a very important concept or archetype among all of them. And it is represented by a Jungfrau, a young woman, a.k.a. a virgin. In German, that is Jungfrau. The other word for virgin in German is Futsgutenheit. However, Virgo is also the sign of the threefold goddess, but it is depicted by a young woman. And this young woman could be Ceres, could be Demeter in modern terms. And there is some evidence that it is also that the Virgin Mary is a representation of something of Virgo. There's a story, I'm not sure which of the lost gospels it's from, of Mary on the lamb being pursued with the baby Jesus in tow, and she passes by some people on a farm, and she says, yeah, you can tell them that I was here, but tell them that it was a month ago. And then she makes the fields grow a month. She accelerates the growth of the farmer's fields by 1 month so that they're not lying. And she goes on her way. This is a This is very Demeter-like. This is very series-like. It's a young mom, and she has some dominion over the way the crops grow in the fields. And so we have this concept of woman that is very unlike the concept of woman that we have today. The goddess in those days, and in quite frankly until recently, included the themes of food, agriculture, service, and healing. Food, service, agriculture, and healing. And, you know, we wonder who is left with these things today. Essentially, they've all been corporatized. Food has been corporatized. Now you get, you know, from General Mills, basically some version of General Mills. And healing is, you know, General Hospital. It's these massive health concerns, HMOs and insurance companies and all of that. And basically service has been outsourced to things like Uber Eats and Uber and, you know, call up for this and Amazon for that. And so the entire realm, oh, and child rearing, that's been outsourced to childcare centers. The only thing we haven't outsourced totally is the gestation of babies. And, you know, we wonder where they'll be like, you custom order a baby and then it is grown in a jug-sized test tube in a baby breeding facility. And then, you know, one day your baby's ready to go and you take it home. It is worth noting, and no judgment is needed here, that all of what was previously the realm of the goddess and the realm of women, which included things like being in charge of the red tent, which was where women went when they were birthing and menstruating, this was all under the purview and the domain of women until recently, all of that and all matters of service and agriculture and child rearing in terms of daycare, healing, food, etc., has all been corporatized. All of the realms previously controlled, occupied, managed by women under what we think of as the realm of the goddess, not some idol to whom we lit incense and made sacrifices, but rather she who nourished us with the core concept being the earth, all of this has basically been sold off cheap and shitty. And I'm saying it is time for us to claim this back. It is time for women to claim back the role of healer, of teacher, of child rearing. Take back control of childbirth and midwifery. Let's claim this stuff back. This is the fundamental role of women in society. And it has been left behind basically by this political movement to assert and insert women in what was previously the domain managed by men, which is fine with me, as long as the other work gets done, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you can go out and play in high tech as long as there's food to eat and somebody capable of delivering a baby is delivering the baby. And that's what I have to say about that. What else going on? Let's see. Saturn is about to retrograde into Pisces. Now, that's pretty big news. This is going to be the last sojourn of Saturn into Pisces for this cycle. Let me get out the official Planet Waves laptop here. And let's get some dates on that. Come on. 00. The position is... No, come on, now why is it going 00? I don't understand this. Do you understand technology? I don't understand technology. We don't want it running everything, I'll tell you that. 29, 59... Okay, and you know what? Technology is absolutely useless unless you already know a lot. I've been doing a lot of inquiry, investigation, and reading and research into AI and experimenting with it. If you don't, if you don't actually know what you're doing already, it's terrible. And if you don't know what you're doing, how do you know that it's right or wrong? This is why I'm not interested in self-driving cars or electric cars. All right, so let's see. So Saturn will go in, it will go back into Pisces on September 1st. That's Monday. And then it is moving retrograde position. Okay, station, Saturn goes direct. Then Saturn goes direct on November 27th, 2025. And then Saturn re-enters Aries on February 13th, 2026. So it will re-enter, let's say this again, after a brief visit to Aries, Saturn will re-enter Pisces on Monday. It will go direct in late November, and then it will re-enter Pisces on February 13th. And this is important because this is leading right into the one and only exact conjunction of Saturn and Neptune for this cycle, and it takes place on the Aries point, right snuggled in to the degree one Aries. Huh. This is important. The Aries point is the amplifier, the magnifier, the point of contact between the individual and the collective. I used to use as a keyword for the Aries point where Saturn is sitting right now, significant in its own right. And you can even find this on my article on Pacifica Network, introducing me to the Pacifica Network, that the personal is political. Turns out this emerges from the mind of somebody named Carol Hanisch, the Red Stocking Radical Feminist Collective in the 1960s. And I didn't understand what the term the personal is political meant. I had it completely backwards. I thought the personal is political meant that your personal choices make a difference in the larger collective realm. And therefore, what you do and who you are and the choices that you make matter. What it actually turns out to mean is that we who are leading a political movement are going to essentially publicize your private life. We are going to seize hold of the very elements of your life that are the most private and then make those public such that there will be no private life. And your private life will be subject to the impositions and the influences of the political realm, which we, in the form of the authors of the term, Red Stockings Collective and Carol Hanisch, say, we're going to put our stuff on you and we're going to take your stuff out and expose it into the world. And it's another way of saying there shall be no privacy. This, by the way, is why I say that this particular gender movement, which shall not be named, is actually a response to electrical conditions in that era, particularly television, which is going on in the late 60s and early 70s at its very peak. And prior to that, the prior gender liberation movement was going on under the influence of radio. And then the previous one that was going on under the influence of telegraph. And so these gender liberation movements, including all of them, the whole let's say FLGBTQ, the whole shebang of that is all about electricity. It's kind of like the invisible rainbow of Arthur Fürstenberg fame, that these movements are all driven by electrical conditions. And they're not influenced, their goal is not to have some form of differentiation between the sexes, but rather the evisceration of anything about differentiation. Androgyny is the answer to everything, right? That's the concept. And the only way you could ever say that androgyny is the answer to everything is if there was some underlying pre-existing situation, environmental cause that was leading for that to happen. Now, I don't know what you would do with this information, and most people are, quite frankly, not that thoughtful. They're not thinking in terms of philosophy. Most people's concepts of electricity go as far as, you know, when you plug your hairdryer in, does it go on, right? That's really it. But I'm taking a more philosophical view of electricity, and I'm saying, well, it has changed us in many ways, and many of the ways that we take for granted in our time, many of the things that we see as quote-unquote progressive are actually about the influence of electricity on humanity. And it's as if we're all sitting in some kind of enormous electrical stadium. We're all sitting in little mini electric chairs being shocked and jolted by electricity and doing all of these things that we think are like so cool and so progressive, and that we are so willing to just bow down to and accept as being absolutely normal. I am saying that these things are not driven by any conventional historical process. They're not driven by ideology. Somebody doesn't write a manifesto, and then that's what happens, or write some book, and then suddenly everything changes. The book itself is the product of the same environment about which the book is written. And then people might read the book and say, oh, there's this thing. But it's all being driven as if the water is rising up. In this case, the electrical waves are rising up from the ground. And I am saying that we live now in the most recent of many electrical eras, which go back to the telegraph in 1846, and then stage after stage after stage leads to ever more complicated lives, more fraught experience, a desexing, a destabilization of an intellect, of the family, of culture, of society. And if we want to keep our sanity and hold on to any normalcy in society, meaning something predictable, we got to pay attention and learn from this. All right, out of time, signing off on 28th at 1:14 p.m. from the Harshaw House. Lots of love, and bye for now.